Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, July 24th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. It's another beautiful day here in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Out in California, record-breaking temperatures in some areas, 114, 115, 116 degrees. Last week, I know here in Happy Valley, we broke the record for the highest temperature on this particular date mm-hmm. in history. So it's hot everywhere across the country. Down in St. Louis, power outages. Over 100-degree temperature.
Well, it's July.
It's July. But I heard a strange comment mm-hmm. over the weekend. I was listening to Art Bell on Coast to Coast AM, and he's broadcasting again from Manila in the Philippines. He got married and so forth. But he said that he's been receiving email from people saying that they don't notice chemtrails as much up in the sky. Now, I don't know if this is Art just trying to psychologically plant a seed in people's head, kind of reverse psychology to think they're not seeing them anymore, or if the government just gave up on this program and said, you know what, it's not working, we don't have enough money to spray the entire sky to try to reflect the sunlight. So
we still see them around here. If you see them where you live, let us know.
Right. So it's a hot July here. In addition to that, oil prices are gasoline prices at their highest ever. Now, they've hit a higher peak here in Pennsylvania, but on average, they're saying now this is the highest gasoline prices have ever been.
How much does it cost you to fill up your tank now?
The other day, $50 to fill up the tank, and I was hearing a news report on the radio. They're talking about people with boats and so forth, uh-huh. and they're saying some of these, they're costing like $800, $900, $1,200 to fill their boat up. So what these people are doing is instead of filling their boats up, they just use their boats anchored at shore there as kind of like a little camp on the lakefront or whatever. They don't have enough money.
So they don't go anywhere in the boat. They just sit on the water.
They just go down.
Like anchored somewhere?
Yeah, anchored to the port or whatever and just sit in there. So it's like a little camp or a beachfront property is what they call it. So, I mean, it's a sickness right now.
Wow.
It's so out of control. But we have a couple announcements before we jump into things. In 2 weeks or less, we're proud to announce that my latest book, 9/11 Evil, is going to be on the market.
Here's the galley
right.
of the book.
It's a beautiful cover done by our usual artist.
And there's us at the UN on the back, I guess.
Right. So here's a little bit closer, you can see it. 9/11 Evil, it's subtitled Israel's Central Role in the September 11, 2001 Terrorist Attacks. It's a special 5th anniversary edition, and also right there, the most dangerous 9/11 book ever written.
And it is, and this subject's been coming up a lot within the 9/11 circles lately. And it is a dangerous topic. Yeah.
Then on the back, there's a picture of Lisa and myself. It's a wanted poster, and it says, for exposing the final taboo. And we're going to talk more about this subject a little bit near the end of the show. But then, starting throughout this week, we're going to talk about it a lot more. And Lisa has some information that's going to blow your minds.
I don't know about that, but I think you'll find it pretty interesting.
Well, I think it's pretty mind-blowing the way that this subject, Israel's role and 9/11 is being completely suppressed, not only in the mainstream,
right.
but in huge segments of the alternative
media.
The most
prominent 9/11 truth group, and mm-hmm. we know them and we call them the 9/11 Untruth Mafia, is still very busy trying to divert and distract attention away from who did it.
Right.
Just like they tried to distract and divert attention away from the controlled demolition. Now, we shouldn't focus on who did it outside of the United States government, outside of Dick Cheney and George Bush.
Exactly.
It's not any bigger than that.
Yeah, and Lisa's going to have an article on this subject, so we're going to cover it a lot more and show you what's going on.
Yeah.
Also, we're proud to announce that this book here, the Michael Collins Piper
you can get it closer.
Reader. Now, we published and edited this book. It's the best of Michael Collins Piper's writing, plus some reviews, some lost interviews that he's done. It's a fabulous book. And it was also republished as Dirty Secrets by the American Free Press. It's subtitled crime, conspiracy, and cover-up during the 20th century.
Essentially the same content.
Yeah. Same book.
I think they added a couple little things.
Yeah, same book, but we published the first run, then the American Free Press ran a second run, and right. Now they're into their second printing. So this has gone through now three printings. So if you haven't had a chance to look at it yet, the Michael Collins Piper Reader, and it's the best of the best that he's done. And finally, we're going to talk about this tomorrow in context to the alternative media. It's a movie we watched last night, and it was kind of like almost an afterthought when we went to the video store. Right. We picked out a couple other videos, and then we're like, let's just grab this. It's called Our Fathers.
I guess it's been around for a while.
Yeah, I don't think this is a
probably
new movie.
At least some of you have seen it.
Yeah.
It has to do with priests in the Roman Catholic Church.
Right, the Boston Catholic Church sex scandal.
Actually, pedophile priests.
Right, exactly. And it stars Ted Danson, Christopher Plummer, mm-hmm. Daniel Baldwin, and Brian Dennehy. And we thought, this will be a throwaway movie. And it was over 2 hours long and excellent, wasn't it? Very disturbing.
Very disturbing, and it shows how they cover up their own dirty laundry, too.
Yeah, and we're going
to
relate...
So indicative of the media, the mainstream and the alternative, yeah. and how the government operates.
Right, so we're going to relate this movie to the alternative media. So if you're out tonight at the video store, it's called Our Fathers. Right, there it is. And, you know, the lead actor, Ted Danson. I never really thought much of him as an actor.
Oh, because you saw him in comedic roles.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, he did a hell of a job in this movie, didn't he?
Yeah, well, you've seen him in comedic roles as opposed to serious ones. But I think he has done a few serious roles, too.
And he was good. Yeah, he was the lawyer that really got this whole thing going and brought charges against the priests. And really sickening.
And this is based on a true story.
Oh, yeah.
Involving
just a couple
pedophile
years ago.
Priest in the Catholic Church, Bernard Cardinal Law, and
John Gagan. Yeah.
Right. And a priest.
And this started to be exposed in Boston, and then the after effects just spread all across the country. Very, very disturbing. And so check it out. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the Middle East, what's been happening over the weekend, some of the things that might have slipped through the cracks. But first, we have a couple quotes. The first is from a columnist named Lawrence Kudlow. And Lisa, read with this. I never heard of the guy before, but listen to what he said.
Israel is doing the Lord's work.
Okay, so Israel's invasion of Lebanon, their killing of civilians, innocents, firebombing places. There's now 700 to 1 million refugees. What did he say, columnist Lawrence Kudlow?
Israel is doing the Lord's work.
There
I guess the Lord wants to slaughter Palestinians and Lebanese women and children and innocent civilians.
So there's one reference to the Lord. Okay, now, on Friday, after we did our show, or maybe it was before we did our show, but Rush Limbaugh was on, and we have a radio in the bathroom, and when we're getting ready to do the show or whatever, we turn the radio on, flick through the dial, Rush Limbaugh was on. Here's the quote that he said about Israel's invasion of Lebanon. Rush Limbaugh.
The war with Lebanon is Israel's gift to the world.
Okay, so I guess he didn't reference God, but this is Israel's gift to the world.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, for the last 60 years, they keep on giving this word, this gift, over and over and over. So I guess Israel's gift to the world is unabashed state-sponsored terrorism.
No, you know what it is? It's evil.
Yeah.
Israel gives evil to the world.
Yeah, so I guess that's kind of paraphrasing what Rush Limbaugh said. And then finally, we're listening to Michael Collins Piper's show. I think it was last Friday. And I don't think he made this quote, or if this was a caller, where it came from, but I scribbled it down. And this is what he said about this war with Israel.
Well, I think it was a caller that said it, and Piper picked up on it.
Okay.
The caller said, it's Jewish criminal totalitarian psychopathology.
Now, I think that one sums it up.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I like that. What is it?
Jewish criminal totalitarian psychopathology. Yeah. That's a mouthful, huh?
You can take that one there to the bank. Now, as I said, there are, from best estimates, anywhere from 700,000 to 1 million Lebanese refugees right now. They're wandering through the Middle East, they're hungry, they have no homes. And if you look on the Wing TV homepage, there's an article called World War III. Simple article. Basically, it says, after World War I and World War II, you'd think we'd learn our lesson, wouldn't you?
What really annoyed me, what really, really annoyed me, was this Resolution 1559, mm-hmm. that the Jewish government leadership or the spokesman for Israel are saying that Hezbollah should be disarmed. The UN has decided Hezbollah should be disarmed, and this resolution, 1559, should be adhered to. It must be adhered to. And everybody's spewing that around. What about all the previous resolutions against Israel
yeah.
that Israel ignored and really everybody else ignored that were against Israel
right.
and nobody had to adhere to? But now, because this one is in Israel's favor, everybody should listen to it and abide by it.
Yeah.
It has weight.
For 60 years, Israel has ignored every single edict that has come down from the UN. But now, all of a sudden, this 1559, and this is like, this is manna from heaven that everybody has to follow
yeah.
now. This is the solution. So what's happening now is there's ground troops, Israeli ground troops, that have moved into South Lebanon. They've actually captured some Hezbollah soldiers. They're being called the first POWs of the war. At least, I was talking to someone today about the war, and they said, well, you know, what about these Israeli soldiers that were kidnapped?
They were kidnapped on the other side of the border.
Well, and they weren't even kidnapped.
They were arrested.
They were captured right. when they were invading a foreign country on foreign soil.
So did you clarify
oh,
that?
Oh, absolutely.
And what did the guy say?
Well, then, you know, I don't know what to say about that now. He was confused because what happens is everybody watches the mainstream news and they use buzzwords.
Right.
Little catchphrases. They were kidnapped. But they didn't leave out that they were on foreign soil, that they were soldiers going there to kill Lebanese people.
Right. And so they have you looking through this myopic, stenotic little lens, but
mm-hmm.
then when the lens is widened, you get the broader perspective, and you can see it in a different context. It's more accurate context.
Right. Now, here's a good one. Dianne Feinstein, one of the senators from the fine state of California. Now, Dianne Feinstein is, of course, a Democrat,
mm-hmm.
an anti-war Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
She's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. She doesn't talk about that much because she doesn't want people to know that.
Yeah.
But she gave a speech over the weekend at a rally in San Francisco. San Francisco, by the way, has been having, for the last 3 years, some of the biggest anti-war rallies
mm-hmm.
in the country. Okay, so a Democrat, Dianne Feinstein, against the war. San Francisco, against the war. But Dianne Feinstein is at a rally that's pro-war. Now you think, wait, what? A Democrat in San Francisco pro-war? But it's a pro-war rally for Israel.
Speaking of anti-war.
Wait a second. I have to tell you what she said. Then she said during this speech that we will always stand behind Israel.
Oh, she's parroting Hillary.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Dianne Feinstein's against war. The Democrats are against war. The San Franciscans are against war, but they're pro-Israeli war. How convenient, don't you think? Now, what were you going to say?
I forgot. Go ahead.
Well,
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah. So, okay, then there's a statesman in the UK, and I didn't catch his name. I heard it on the radio. And he's one of the few that's actually speaking out against Israel. And he's talking about the massive destruction to the Lebanese infrastructure and also the number of innocent citizens
uh-huh.
in Lebanon that are being killed. So I wish I would have caught his name.
I remember now.
Okay.
I remember now. Cindy Sheehan. Someone sent me an email from Cindy Sheehan where she says she's absolutely not going to address the 9/11 issue
mm-hmm.
with respect to her anti-war protests and so forth. They are not 9/11 researchers, she says. And so, in other words, the 9/11 issue is something totally separate and apart from what they're doing, which
yeah.
is apparently gatekeeping now.
So,
you know, 9/11 was a pretext that rallied the country behind the war in which Cindy Sheehan lost her son and which so many other people lost their children,
yeah.
including Iraqis.
Yeah. So 9/11 has nothing to do with the war, I guess.
And Afghanis.
Yeah. yeah. So they're separate entities, mutually exclusive.
She doesn't want any part of it.
Yeah. And I wonder why that is. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, anyone that's putting faith in Cindy Sheehan is putting her head somewhere where I don't want to describe where it is.
Mike, I think it was Dave Barrera. Dave Barrera, a guy who we met in OKC at the 10th anniversary bombing convention. He handed Cindy Sheehan, Professor Stephen Jones' controlled demolition report. Mm-hmm. He put it right in her hand. We have a picture, a photo of him with her and at one of these events. So it's not like she doesn't know about the controlled demolition or the whole operation around, surrounding it. She's ignoring it.
Well, what she's doing is she's being used
as
a functionary. She's serving a specific function. And when we were down in D.C. last year, September 24th, huge anti-war rally, 300,000 people. And there's Cindy Sheehan sidled right up beside Jesse Jackson.
Her handler, Jesse Jackson.
Yeah. And it was so disgusting because Jesse's dressed in his usual socialist garb. And what she's doing is she's, if the left in this country would wake up and focus on something more than, like Lisa said, their little myopia, their little tunnel vision, they could get this administration out of there. But there's people like Cindy Sheehan and antiwar.com. Antiwar.com does good work on the war, but they stop at the war. Nothing more.
Since it's unlikely that the mainstream media is going to widen the lens for you, you have to be aware that they are only giving you this much of the picture.
Exactly.
And you have to widen the lens yourself.
Yeah. Okay, over in Syria, they said that they're not, the Syrian leader said they are not going to sit idly by if Israel continues to escalate their violence. Now, the Syrians are also saying that they want to broker some peace.
Right.
But if this keeps escalating, at some point, they said they're not going to sit idly by. I'm certain this is what Israel and the neocons want. They'll just keep pushing.
I heard sort of the same thing out of the Israeli leadership mouth last week or so. They said they want peace, too, as they were bombing and bombing and bombing.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up because as we speak...
They'll have peace once everyone's dead.
Yeah. As we speak, Condoleezza Rice is over in the Middle East. She went to Beirut. Mm-hmm. And later she's going to go to Israel. She also, Lisa, is trying to broker peace. That's in quotations, broker peace. But the only way is if the Lebanese and Hezbollah agree to all stipulations. Now, I won't give you all the stipulations, but I read them over the weekend, and it's a long list of this is everything
they
have to do.
This is U.S. stipulations, right?
Right, right.
Oh, okay.
And what it is that they want to completely castrate, completely neuter, completely emasculate the Arabs.
And chop them off at the knees.
Right. Eliminate Hezbollah. I'm sure Hamas would be in there somehow, too. Eliminate all these forces.
Okay.
Any resistance.
Right. Any real significant resistance other than children throwing stones at tanks.
Yeah. I think that wasn't on the list. So I think children throwing
stones. They're still
stones.
Allowed?
Yeah.
Because they're easily shot and killed.
Yeah. Or run over like, what's her name?
Rachel Corrie,
exactly. So
that's her name.
So if you're a peace activist standing in front of a tank, or if you're a child throwing stones, those are allowed. But anything beyond that has to be wiped out. Now, here's another good one.
So they can't defend themselves.
Yeah. When I was coming home from work today, I was listening to this cretin, Glenn Beck. And I never listened to him, but the station, or the radio, happened to be on that station. It was the last couple minutes of his show. And it was so preposterous that my hand actually pulled away from the dial because I had to listen to it. He was saying, now get this, that the United States sells weapons to Israel. Okay, everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
But he said that the Israelis now think that there's a Chinese spy within their ranks.
Pray tell, is China the future war cash cow?
Well, listen now.
Like we said.
So, Israel gets the weapons from the U.S., but they suspect a Chinese spy within their ranks.
Uh-huh.
Now, what this Chinese spy is doing is stealing the technology from these weapons that the United States sells to Israel. Then the spy is taking them back to China.
Is Steven Spielberg producing this?
It gets better. Now, the Chinese then are reverse engineering the technology, and they're building their own weapons. Then they're taking these weapons and selling them to Iran and Syria and Hezbollah. That's how it's happening, huh? Now,
okay.
anybody that reads Gordon Thomas's book, Seeds of Fire, knows that not only does Israel directly sell weapons, U.S. weapons, to China, but Israel's also the one putting back doors into a lot of these systems and selling them then to terrorists. Now, this is not only...
Other terrorists.
Right. I hear people saying, you know, well, there's so much disinfo on the news and so much misinformation coming out of the networks. And I agree, there is. But this goes so far beyond misinfo and disinfo. This is outright...
Lying.
Blatant deceit, lying, where they're saying... And Israel... If they even suspected for 1 second that they had a spy in their midst...
He'd be dead.
He'd be dead, he'd be gone, eliminated, never heard from again. So this Chinese spy is just lingering in the midst of the Israel IDF, stealing this technology, secrets.
Oh, and they're just letting him.
Just letting him. They can't find him, I guess. With the Mossad,
running around with Osama.
Yeah. And then they're reverse engineering it and selling it then to the terrorists in the Middle East. It's unbelievable. So,
it almost sounds like Tom Flacco wrote
it. Oh, my God. It's incredible. This is on mainstream radio. Now, we're going to cover a lot of things tomorrow, starting tomorrow. Specifically, well, wait. We got to read... One thing. We had our article Friday, John Stadtmiller's doublespeak. And, Lisa, I was amazed at how many people don't like John Stadtmiller.
Well, you were amazed because you didn't realize so many people were clued into how he acts and the things he does.
And so there was one point, if you remember Friday's show, where I read this quote. This is from the article.
One?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the quote Victor used. After finishing my sentence, Stadtmiller shot back one of the most classic lines ever. He said, "Every time I talk to you, I feel like doing one of three things. Quitting radio, getting drunk, or shooting myself."
Okay, so that was in the article. Here's what one of the Wing TV viewers named Andy said in response.
Andy says, "Why just do one thing, John, when you can do them all? Quit your job, get drunk, and shoot yourself." People do it all the time.
People out there watching Wing TV have a great sense of humor. So there wasn't one response that we got, Lisa, sticking up for Stadtmiller. I was very, very surprised about that. But here's what we're going to cover now in the next couple days. A little bit about Art Bell, something very peculiar. Lisa's article and information about the 9/11 groups up in New York City.
Yeah, just so you know, this is 9/11truth.org's internet discussion forum, which is called 9/11 Truth Alliance, which has no truth whatsoever.
We're also going to tell you about how Daniel Ellsberg is very displeased with Mr. Alex Jones. And finally, we're going to cover this story about Sam Danner. And we'll fill you in more about that. Anyone that listens to Piper's show, we're going to talk about that. We're going to listen tonight, see what new developments there are. But we have a lot to cover here in the next few days. One last point. We were out the other day, Lisa and myself, taking a walk, and I said to her, and this is something I want to ask Mark Glenn. We're going to get him on the show again here. But I said, why don't all the Islamic countries just band together all at once, come up with a date, and just bomb the living shit out of Israel? And I can't figure out what's holding them back, because the more they let Israel push, the more Israel's agenda gets blanketed across the Middle East. And you have countries like Saudi Arabia and Egypt now speaking out negatively against Hezbollah, and it's incredible.
Well, are they afraid the U.S. will retaliate on Israel's behalf?
We're going to get Mark on, I think maybe this week again, and we're going to ask him that question directly, and I think that's...
Especially, like, look at Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
The U.S. protects Saudi Arabia.
Well, absolutely. So I think that's probably a good part of it, but what it's doing is dividing and conquering again the Arab world, and also the Arabs against the Christians, so Judaism comes out as the victor. And
I just want to say one thing. Telling the truth about Israel is not anti-Semitic. It's not. Telling the truth about anything isn't racist.
Right. Despite.
And Israel had a central role in 9/11, not a peripheral role. We're not talking about galvanic corrosion. We're not talking about pods.
Right.
We're talking about a major player. You've got the U.S. as one arm of the evil. You've got Israel, the other arm of the evil. You can't look at one one evil and ignore the other.
Right, and when this book comes out, everyone's going to see finally, once and for all, the central role that Israel has played. It should be out in a couple weeks. So, until tomorrow, we have a lot to cover this week. The Mideast is still in crisis. Gas prices high. Temperature hot. Things are stirred up, folks. And it's going to be a very interesting summer. So, until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
And say prayers for the innocent people that are getting murdered every day with our U.S. tax dollars.
That's right.